It's Full Metal Jackie bringing you 2 full hours of metal weekly. On the show with us this week, we've got Baroness frontman John Baisley. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Doing great. Happy to have you back on the show. We've got this new record, Stone. And John, over the years, you've had a theme of album titles with colors. Is Stone kicking off a new thematic series, or do you view it, you know, as a standalone title?
Two-part answer. It is, yes, it is part of a new series, and I think what we internally think of as a new but not altogether different era for the band. I think that this being the first record that we've ever released with two consecutive lineups, that was enough to qualify this being a new era for the band. And there's stability and there's some predictability now for me, you know, if anything else, having been in the band so long, moving forward through this album cycle and through to the next, I feel confident that I've got, that we are a four piece that's not going to have to suffer through any more lineup changes. So I think that is one sort of aspect of it, that yes, the idea of titling our records after, you know, different colors was a really fun project. I mean, it really, really was like an exciting, wild, ridiculously long project to be part of, because it took, you know, 15 or 20 years to get through it. But I think we're interested in moving beyond that, moving forward. Having said all that, I don't ever think that the overarching concept, philosophy, existence of the band needs to change beyond what it is. So it's just to say that we've sort of closed the book on what we had been doing, more or less for title purposes, more or less for the concept of, you know, creating this rainbow of albums. But that doesn't mean that there's going to be any hard turns, you know, otherwise. Our idea about making music, even though the lineup is entirely different now than it was in 2002 and 2003, our idea and concept for this band has always been the same. So I have come to see this as a big lifelong project that I'm taking part in, where each record that is made is, in fact, for me personally, part of a larger series of records that are all, they're all kind of the same thing to me. You know, I start them off the same. For me, they come from the same place. And I would like to think that in terms of, you know, who we are, what we are, and how we present ourselves, nothing fundamentally has changed there. It's just the concept of those, that creating that color wheel has come to an end. So it's time to engage in a new series.
Baroness frontman John Baisley is my guest on the show this week. The new album from Baroness is called Stone. It's out September 15th. Here's another track from it, Beneath the Rose. Mind Over Metal from Raven, heard Beneath the Rose from Baroness. John Baisley of Baroness with us on the show talking about their new album, Stone. And how does the title play into what we're hearing on this new album?
Much like past Baroness records, I intend the title to be considered in a variety of ways. There are clear thematic tie-ins with some of the lyrics and some of the meaning and some of the some of the images and ideas that started the record off. But it's also a fairly broad term, as were all of our color-themed records. So the intention there is that the listener, depending on their, you know, investment in our music, and depending on how deep they choose to go with, you know, who we are and what we do and these records that we put out, they're meant to offer a starting point and nothing else. Personally speaking, I can go several different layers deep with the idea and explain it to the point where I think I'm actually ruining the experience of listening. So to me, it's got some very personal, very deep-seated meanings, as well as, I think, for some of the other guys. However, those deeper meanings are not, those are just the things that we bring to the record. You know, like, I could explain some of that stuff to you, but what I would be doing is explaining to you what the record is to me and where it came from me. And that would not put you as a listener on the right path to hearing it with fresh ears. So what I prefer about our very, very simplistic album titles is that the listener can really try to figure that out for themselves, if they want to, you know, otherwise it's just a quick, snappy title. So I think there's deeper and deeper layers of meaning, and some of which are actually not that deep at all. So there's some sort of funny, kind of humorous aspects to it, but really it's meant to, like our prior records, be a starting point for people. It certainly is an evocative image in my mind. You know, you have, you know, when you think of stone, you think of, you know, things that are solid, things that are timeless. You know, stone can be anything from a lump of coal to a diamond. Classically speaking, it's an archetype, you know, it's an archetypal form, archetypal term. So there are millions of instances of the idea of stones coming up throughout history, throughout mythologies, throughout religions. You know, the, you know, Moses and the tablets, there's Christian belief system, there's Sisyphus, the doomed man in the underworld in the Greek and Roman mythologies, whose sole job is to push this gigantic boulder up the hill every day, only to find it's rolled back to the bottom each morning. You know, we find statues and idols and all sorts of items of high significance in our society built from or carved in stone. It's just, it's a very evocative term. It comes along with a lot of imagery to me. It has to do with a handful of fairly significant experiences that I underwent through the writing process of this record. So I think it's a good, for me, it's a very good term, much like our color themes. It, you know, it's got an attitude and it's got a certain connotations that come along with it. And depending on the listener, those connotations are guaranteed and very likely to change.
John Baisley of Baroness with us. The new album, Stone, comes out on September 15th. And the band has the Sweet Oblivion Tour coming up in the fall. It's Full Metal Jackie. Still to come this hour, Joss's weekly pick from the pit. Gonna play you a new track from Cataclysm next. Their album comes out next week. It is called Goliath. I'll also play music from Anthrax and more with John Baisley next. It's Full Metal Jackie. John Baisley of Baroness on the show with us. We're talking about the band's new record, Stone. And there's a great new song out there now called Last Word. And it really shows off the band's amazing chemistry. And John, for this new album, you all got together in a private home to record it. How much does that 24/7 experience help in what we hear in the music?
Tremendously. Again, it's the way we've made this record was very different than in some ways than the way we made former records, but we've always gone to somewhat remote locations to record. You know, when our last two records we did with Dave Fridman, and those were recorded, you know, in a cabin in the woods in upstate New York. When we recorded the prior two records to that, or the records before that, it was two records with John Congleton, and we did almost all the tracking of those records in Dallas, Texas, just under kind of incognito. When we're in session and working, the type of music that we make requires a very, very, very heavy amount of dedication. So for Stone, you know, the big change and the thing that we've been working towards for many, many years is this is truly a self-made record. We produced it, we engineered it, I recorded it. We even, in a certain sense, mixed the record. And then Joe Barisi and I out in LA he really put his magic on the final touches of the record and brought our mixes to life. But up until that point, the idea for us, and as has been a goal for, you know, nearly two decades now, was to be able to create our music by ourselves. We started off as a DIY band, and I feel like at this stage in our career, we're sort of working towards, you know, albeit a slightly redefined idea of DIY, but it was really fantastic to go to. I mean, it was just a random Airbnb that we found that we thought looked like it might have positive acoustic qualities, you know, big ceilings, plenty of reflective materials to make our drums sound nice and lively. And it was a big space, so we could bring all of our equipment in there. And, you know, Gina and I spent the first 36 hours of that session just building studio from scratch in a, you know, sort of a vacation rental retreat style home. So yeah, I mean, the idea of that then means you wake up in the morning, you get a little bit of food, you do your preparation work or get some time to yourself. And then we would have 8 to 14 hour sessions daily. It was a lot of rehearsing, it was a lot of jamming. It's a lot of developing our chemistry within the context of each song. And then just when we got to that point where we knew the song that we learned, you know, maybe over the course of a couple of days, we would just run into the sound booth and start tracking the drums and the bass. And that the idea of that, not having a producer, not having engineers, not having, you know, anybody else other than the four band members, was that every moment was dedicated to and in service of this record. And it, you know, it's a fairly intense thing to walk into a house with your bandmates and everybody's got a loose idea about all of the musical ideas that are intact. We sort of had to wrestle them together, and it was just, you know, it was just like boot camp. We tend to do this when we're in these situations, but it was, you know, just play music all day long, all day long. You really, when you do that, when you dedicate yourself and put that kind of work in, have that kind of ambition, there's this special thing that comes when you get in that shape. It's kind of a transcendental thing. It's, you know, if we spent a week working on it, we could have made a decent record, but we spent nearly a month in there just not fine tuning, not refining, not embellishing, not overdubbing, but trying to find the essence of these songs as we played them as a four piece, you know, in a similar way to the way that we will on stage. We really worked on finding rhythmic pockets, finding vibes, finding a way to communicate musically with one another in a nonverbal way. So that by the time we felt 85% sure that we knew the song, that's when we recorded it. Not at the point where we played it a half a bazillion times and knew it back and forth. We really wanted to have some of that, you know, kind of in the moment energy on the record. So yeah, it was a really, really fun way to make a record. I think it'll probably be our new album.
Baroness's John Baisley with us talking about their upcoming new record, Stone. Up next, Josta's weekly pick from the pit, music from Megadeth. We're going to check out a new track from Of Mice and Men. John's going to be picking music. It's all on the way. It's Full Metal Jackie. Baroness singer John Baisley on the show with us, celebrating the release of the new record, Stone. And you mentioned in talking about this new record, the desire to never repeat yourself musically. How much of a challenge is that at six albums in?
Well, it is a challenge as much at six albums as it was at the second album. You know, I think it's, you know, when we talk about music, we have to use these sort of tricky terms because music doesn't really have easily definable language. When I say we don't want to repeat ourselves, well, we are going to repeat the fact that there's a drummer and a bass player and two guitar players, you know, generally two voices singing. That's something that you can't avoid repeating. But what I mean by repetition is when we've done something well, and we define well as something that is, you know, successful on stage, potentially successful, you know, potentially those songs that people gravitate towards on, you know, however they're listening, you know, the fan favorites and everything like that. Like, those songs are obvious. Our good songs, like any artist's good songs, are going to be those ones that both the band and the audience agrees have some kind of special magic. I've always thought it would be a very easy thing to take what's working and just continue to develop that thing that's working, to refine it or to find new ways of reconfiguring it. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen in the context of any band. It does. But for us, it's, you know, when we had written Shock Me, it was like, okay, well, we don't ever have to write that again. You know, when we wrote Bones, okay, we don't ever have to write that again. Mars and Sea, don't ever have to write that again. There's music within us that can't help but come out. But what I'm not interested in is, I'm not interested in figuring out what works and then providing that for our audience. I'm interested in finding out what's exciting to me and what feels like discovery, what feels like adventure as the musician at the helm, you know, as an artist and as a musician and as somebody who has to, you know, ultimately is going to have to play these songs time and time again. I'm not interested in having a bunch of songs that all feel the same. I want everything to feel different. You know, I want to see how diverse we are as musicians, and I want to see how fluid we can become using music as the language that we choose to communicate. So in our early years, it felt sometimes risky to include acoustic songs on our records, but that's now a thing that we do frequently. So, you know, when it came to Stone, it just was about keeping your heart and your head sort of musical receptors open such that you were doing something that felt unfamiliar, felt like a new direction, felt like a new adventure. And, you know, that's a feeling that you get frequently when you're 12, 13, 14 years old and have just picked up an instrument. You know, every day is a discovery at that stage. Decades and decades into performing and being a musician, it's more difficult to find that. But I don't think that that's a reason not to look for it. I think the obligation of the musician is to stay true to who and what they were in your early formative years. So the best stuff that I ever did was when I was young and I didn't know what was going on, and everything was a first time. So I think is important. And again, it's almost like the obligation of the creative artist to consistently and confidently try to put yourself in a headspace where you are discovering, where you are making up a new template, because Lord knows the old templates are there. You know, if you want easy, quick, accessible fame, fortune, success, if you define it like that, you know, just write a song according to the numbers, you know, keep it under 3.5 minutes, make sure there's 3 choruses in there, big solo, good hook, whatever, you know, that's not interesting to me. I want to feel like there's always an open road ahead of me. I don't know exactly where it's going. So it was really, again, it was kind of internally inspirational to be in that headspace nearly the entire time. That's right.
It's Full Metal Jackie. Hey, coming up this hour, the Death Clock Brutal Pick of the Week, music from Faith No More. We'll have more with my guest, John Baisley of Baroness, after this. It's Full Metal Jackie, John Baisley of Baroness on the show with us again, talking about the new record, Stone. And John, in Amoeba Records feature on your social media, you commented about listening to Beethoven's music and digging into classical music and how it's giving you new ideas. In that same feature, you're also shouting out your love for traditional country music and Japanese hardcore. Some musicians prefer to shut things out, you know, while working on new music. Others take as much influence as they can find. How important is it for you to continually be evolving and being a student of all types of music?
That's the whole point of it to me. That's the whole kit and caboodle, is that by the time we're, you know, as artists and as musicians, by the time we're good at something, it's dead to me. You know, it's like you have to keep your ears open. I think the most exciting time for any musician is when you're young. You're just, before anybody pays attention to you, before you understand anything about what it's like to be given positive or negative feedback, before you've got a crowd that knows the words to your song, before any of that happens, you're in this pure creative state where all you're trying to do is satisfy yourself. You're just trying to write something cool. And I have found that many people, this is not across the board, but there are many musicians that I know who are of my generation, my age, older, and then even you know, quite a few people that are a little bit younger than me, that, you know, once the thing takes off, you know, once the machine of your music becomes mechanical, once you're out there making money, once you're out there, you know, experiencing success, your attitude changes. And I find that a lot of people stop listening to music, they stop going to shows, or they go to a different type of show. And for me, I started off in basements. I started off in BMW halls. I started off in backyards. We grew up in the country. It was, you know, you build a stage, you get a kerosene diesel generator, whatever, crank it up, and that's how you play music. So in 2023, I don't want to lose that. As far as I'm concerned, I never did. It's always been as exciting to see what's happening in the deep, deep recesses of the underground as it is to go see a big, like, stadium rock show or something. I like to do everything in between as well. Like, for me, it's like just absorb, absorb, absorb. So for instance, this year, Gina and I spent like a ton of time at DIY clubs, just bands who've only been around for a year, or, you know, watching music be played on a dirt floor. Like, that to me is still exciting. I still get ideas there. It's still more important for me to look outside my perceived genre, in fact, to find inspirational ideas. So that, you know, thus having not grown up with a ton of classical music in my life, but having developed an understanding and appreciation for it more recently, it feels fresh and it feels new. I know it's old as, you know, it's old as time almost, but that was a new discovery for me. And oftentimes, you know, when I look at what's happening in modern hip-hop or country or electronic music, or just, you know, generally speaking, genres that people don't put us in, but of which I have always been a huge fan, I find that those more disparate genres offer more clear inspirations to me. Because if I go to, you know, if I go to like a punk, hardcore, rock, death metal show or whatever, you know, the stuff that I'm more closely aligned with, I'm just seeing people doing it better and worse. And occasionally something totally inspired, but it's better or worse. Is this band heavier, more aggressive, more brutal than the first? You know, can this guy hold a blast beat harder, faster, longer than somebody else? All that kind of stuff. But I'm a songwriter, you know, so I'm interested in watching how people write songs. The details of technique are not important to me. The, details of performance are not important to me. What's important to me is that the song is being played well. And that very often includes fantastic technical musicians playing it. But I just want to see good songs. I want to feel music. I don't care to rip it apart into its pieces and to try to identify all these things and create some kind of equation. I want to understand what makes me feel this person's music versus what bores me about this other person's music, where maybe these two people, hypothetically speaking, about have a similar sound. Sometimes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Sometimes your eyes well up with tears. And that's the sort of stuff I'm interested in. What makes people feel, you know, and how can we tap in?
It's Full Metal Jackie. Coming up next, a new tune from Butcher Babies. Plus, we'll hear from a member of Death Clock for the Death Clock Brutal Pick of the Week. And of course, more with John Baisley of Baroness. It's Full Metal Jackie. We've got John Baisley of Baroness on the show with us, talking about the new record, Stone. And I wanted to mention this great sweet Oblivion tour you've got coming up in the fall. It's a headline run with a wealth of great support acts like Jesus Peace, Ken Mode, Imperial Triumphant, Soul Glow, and Empire State Bastard, among others, opening shows. As the headliner on this run, how great is it to bring such a wide array of heavy music to fans? And are there any of these particular acts you're excited to see what they're all about live?
Well, I'm excited to see all of them. I want to say that with the exception of one or two bands, and those are just bands that have only been around for a short while, I've seen almost all. This tour afforded me, this is the first time we've done a proper headlining tour in the U.S. in ages. I mean, like really, really in ages. We were meant to be on a co-head during the pandemic. That didn't happen. We had done a co-head with Def Heaven in 2019. We had done some like small, when we've done tons of these little like small club shows, but we haven't actually put piece together like a full tour in support of a record in way too long in the U.S. Europe and everywhere else is kind of a different story, but here in the U.S., it's really been a goal of ours to like have a headlining tour. And it's just between like 2021 and now, something really incredible happened in underground music and a lot of the music that I listen to. It just feels like everybody leveled up. It feels like every new band that starts is starting so far ahead of, you know, where I did when Baroness was a young band. I'm so excited by the great wealth of music that it's happening right now and being seen and being heard and being supported in underground, whether that's this insanely huge upwelling that's happening now within the hardcore scene, you know, or these amazing sort of DIY death metal bands, all this sort of noise rock and just a lot of these, you know, more adventurously heavy artists. It just feels like it's such a good time right now. And, you know, I know that the vast majority of these bands probably wouldn't want to do a whole tour with us, you know? So the idea that I've had, and my agent and I have been talking about this for years, is just to put together like regional clumps, you know, or clusters of bands where we can play with a band that's as out and out intense as Jesus Peace for, you know, I think just under a week. Or we can play with, I mean, it's just kind of all over the map. But yeah, I mean, it's really a direct reflection of the music that I listen to. These are bands that I am extremely excited about. These are bands that I've been reaching out to, bands that I've, you know, met some in the distant past, but more commonly, these are newer bands that I see. I see them when they come to Philadelphia or see them in Philadelphia. And I just have always loved going to see shows, and I'm kind of shameless when it comes to, you know, meeting people in bands. I mean, it's like we all have the same profession here. So I really have just tried to make sure that you know, everybody who's on this tour comes from that same kind of mentality and background. Even though our sounds are different, we all have our hearts are in the same place. So yeah, this is really, really an exciting one for tour.
Pick up the new record from Baroness. It's called Stone. See the band out on the road. John, such a great pleasure to chat with you again, and good luck with this record, and definitely looking forward to seeing you guys in the fall.
Yeah, hell yeah. Thank you.
And stick around, because we've got more metal on the way.